Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say, I heard you guys singing right before church. You're getting ready for Christmas, I understand, right?
Yeah.
You're sounding great. Very good. You guys know all the songs already? Pretty
almost.
Well? Almost. Getting there, huh? Okay.
I already know them.
You do? Good. All right. Well, it's not Christmas yet, but what's coming up real soon?
Christmas.
What? Thanksgiving, right? This week? So I thought we could talk a little bit about some of the things that make for Thanksgiving. What do you think are some of the good colors for Thanksgiving? What colors would be good?
Red, brown.
How about something like this? Are these kind of colors? Kind of oranges and yellows? Because they're all kind of harvest colors, right? Like,
yeah.
I was playing with my grandkids, and they were playing with some of these things that are kind of fall things. What does this look like? What do you think?
Like an acorn.
An acorn? Yeah, this is the time when squirrels are doing what? What are squirrels doing?
Foraging,
yeah, they're trying to get all the acorns they can, whatever stuff they can. I don't know what palm trees give off acorns, but they probably have a hard time getting palms from them. What about this? You know what this is, right? What does that look like? Pumpkin, that's kind of the thing we do now, because there's all kinds of things that are harvesting right now. What does this look like? A number of leaves, yeah, you gather leaves. Do you have any trees that give off a lot of leaves in your yard? Do you have some? Do you have to rake it all a little bit? You do some raking? Yeah, good. I'm glad you do it so your parents don't have to. That's the good thing. And what's this?
A turkey.
Of course, you know what that is. Why do we have turkeys?
Because they taste delicious.
Oh, you do? You like them? That's good.
And
good.
Because back then when the American Indians had lots of turkeys.
Yeah, they were a real nuisance. Those turkeys could be real problems. Right. Who were those people that ate those turkeys? What do we call those people? The pilgrims. Yeah, they were people who came to this country because they were being persecuted elsewhere, but they found freedom here. So those pilgrims were people who think about, yeah, you eat turkeys at Thanksgiving. Now, let me ask if you know, anybody know this one? This one I kind of like. Anybody know what this is called?
It's
a horn of plenty. There's another name for it. Do you know what it is?
Cornucopia.
Say it out loud. That's good.
Cornucopia.
It sounds like kind of a dirty term, doesn't it? Cornucopia. Sounds kind of strange, but if you tell other people, like if you go to your grandmother's house, or you go someplace for Thanksgiving, you say, do you have a cornucopia in your house? It's kind of a neat thing to say. But a cornucopia is a horn of plenty. It used to be we would decorate things with this because it reminds us of all the abundant things. You can kind of imagine that this whole horn is filled with all kinds of good things. So apart from all the things like this, what's Thanksgiving about anyway? What do you think it's about? Friendship, that's a very important. Celebrating family and friends. How about you? Yeah. Having time together, time to share things, okay? How about you?
Giving thanks and for when they had a big feast.
Yeah,
right. Every
year. Yeah, how about you? Had a real hard time when they first started, right? They didn't know how to grow the crops here. And the Native Americans that were there, they helped them, and they celebrated together with them. It was a time to really count your blessings. Have you ever heard that before? Count your blessings. Learn to say thanks for all the many things. And I bet if you started to make a list of all those blessings, you'd have a pretty long list. So let's say a word right now of thanks to God for all the gifts we have. Gracious God, we thank you for the many, many, many things you've given us in this past year, the blessings of our family, our friends, our homes, our pets, all the good friends at school, for teachers who care for us, and all the many things that make us happy. Help us to remember each year at Thanksgiving that you are the source of all the gifts we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up today.
The first reading is from Jeremiah. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," says the Lord. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings," says the Lord. "Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing," says the Lord. "The days are surely coming," says the Lord, "when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved,
though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The
Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Glory to the
Father. The second reading is from Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on the right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him: "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a wonderful story you may have heard. Mary and Joseph were just starting to pack up and head back to Nazareth. Their heads were still spinning after these surprise and kind of mysterious visits they had from all these shepherds, these humble shepherds who came and paid attention to their new child. And then after that, the wise men came. And they too knelt down at the manger and paid homage to the new child, the little baby. What did that all mean? What was that all about? Mary and Joseph were still confused and trying to make sense of it all. And before they started out to head home to Nazareth, they remembered, oh yeah, we have to go and sign the census. We have to go and be recorded. So they went, and carrying the baby, they stood in line for a long time. There was a bureaucrat up in the front. Remember how bureaucrats used to wear those little green plastic visors? You know, some, I don't know if the Romans had those, but it was that type of person sitting there and very fastidiously recording all the names of the people as they came forward. Finally, Mary and Joseph made it to the front of the line. Without any emotion, the guy says, and you, what's your name? And Joseph said, Joseph, I'm from Nazareth. I'm really just here for the... Oh, that's all right. The guy said, just need your name. That's it. And you, what's your name? He says to Mary. Mary says, very simply, Mary. And the kid, what's the kid's name? And Mary is quick to start to say, his name is Jesus. And then she stopped. And she remembered the words of Isaiah. She says, his name is Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is the time of the year when we start to remember what Jesus' name is and what it means to us. What child is this, we will say at Christmas time. How do we understand and know who Jesus is and what his role will be in our lives? It's a wonderful time to contemplate, to perhaps ponder in our hearts like Mary was prone to do, who this child really is and who he would become. Perhaps for us, like Luke, we think of him as a healer, as a wonderful do-gooder who taught us important things about how to care for each other. Remember those stories that are unique to Luke, the story of the Good Samaritan? That's what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus teaches us those kinds of stories, to be aware of anyone in need around us, any chance we have to be of help to others, to bring healing and peace to our world. Perhaps we think of him as a prophet who taught us important things. Remember the Sermon on the Mount, how it is that we are to live up to very high standards of service to other people. And that even in the darkest of times, when we're persecuted or when we have a hard time, we are being blessed somehow by God, strangely. Provocative thoughts, Jesus taught us. Perhaps if you're a person who's experienced a very rough time in your life, perhaps dealing with addictions, perhaps dealing with things that made you feel very guilty and very sad for things you've done, things you regret and wish you could have done differently, perhaps then you have a feeling that Jesus really has been your Savior who pulled you back from the brink. Throughout the book of Luke, remember, which we've studied all this year, Jesus is always trying to find people on the edge and bring them back in, trying to rescue those people most in peril. Jesus is the one who's always seeking to broaden the circle of those he can embrace and love and care for. And we perhaps celebrate that we were included in that because we felt so broken and divided from other people. Perhaps you felt those things and really feel Jesus is your Savior. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Of all the titles, I probably have more trouble with this. Maybe it's because I don't know how to relate to a king. Maybe some of you have grown up in monarchies or in countries or places in the world where there's a king and you have a real sense of what that means. For me, it's kind of hard and difficult. Pope Pius in 1925 said, I think we need to have a Christ the King Sunday, because the world is becoming so secular and people are really worshiping all kinds of other false gods. They're full of idolatry and they're becoming so alienated from the religious world. We need to celebrate how Christ is the true King in our lives. We need to learn, like the shepherds and the wise men, that to bow down and to pay homage to our King is part of our responsibility. Nevertheless, it seems hard to me to recognize how Christ the King really has an impact on our lives. How really do we see him or understand him in this way? Perhaps for some of us, we think of Jesus standing in judgment at the throne and asking us, how have you done? What have you done in my name? Maybe we think of Jesus as kind of a kingly judge at times. I would imagine for the most part, we tend to think of Jesus much more as the companion on the road, the friend, the one who is guiding and teaching us. As we say in our liturgy sometimes, Jesus is the model of the godly life. Jesus is the one who inspires us to serve, doesn't just demand things of us. Yet what do we mean by a king? What is it understood to mean in the Bible, especially? In the first lesson today, we have the story of a king really should be as a good shepherd, willing to sacrifice and serve other people. You know, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, God held off on giving people king for a long time because he wanted people to understand that truly they could count on God alone to be their true king. It was only after a long period of people begging and demanding that finally we started to have kings. And after kings like David, everybody continued to hope that another king would come forward. And so people wondered, is this Jesus really a king for them? Well, Jesus demonstrates what kingly is much more in the sense of the servant king, I think. The king who is modeling for us what service is to be about. The good shepherd is the one who will lay down his life for the sheep. In Philippians, we are told that Jesus humbled himself, not choosing to be a king with all kind of pomp and circumstance, but a king committed to serving and loving and sacrificing for others. Nevertheless, it's still hard for us to hear a lesson like today's gospel, to see our King on the cross and to think, how in the world can this be a model for us? If serving means execution, means persecution, means treatment like Jesus is treated, how is that possibly inspirational for us? How can we have a King who dies on a cross, humbled, humiliated, crucified? Seems to me the lesson we have for today is the one that keeps reminding us to say, if God is God, we have to believe that there will always be something beyond death. God, who is the King of creation, who creates new life, who creates out of death something new, is the God we can look to for hope in times of death and despair. How is it that every fall we can see the death of the trees, the dying of the leaves? We don't have to experience snow for the most part, but we can experience the dying and the ending of a season with the hope that spring will come again and bring something new. Our God is the God who always brings something beyond death. New life that happens when things die. New hope and new expectations that come out of despair and hopelessness. Seems to me we are to be a people of great thankfulness because we know the wonders of God's recreative power. Jesus came to life again to inspire us and to believe that there's something more to happen, that there's a new life to be experienced beyond the grave. So too, we may be able to count our blessings and say, yes, God has helped me through all these different times in my life when I was full of hopelessness. And there was something new beyond that. There was another door I could walk through and experience some new life, some new hope. We should be people filled with the hopefulness of a God who creates and recreates and restores and renews that which is dead or dying. There was a woman who would write letters to the presidents. She was upset because even though since George Washington, various places and communities celebrated a Thanksgiving holiday, there was never one unified Thanksgiving day. She would write to various presidents, keep saying, we ought to have one single Thanksgiving day so that all of us together can celebrate the gifts God has given us. It was Abraham Lincoln who read that letter and said, yeah, she's got it right. I'm going to declare that we have one day in November when we celebrate Thanksgiving as a united nation. In the middle of the Civil War, when there was so little reason to be thankful and appreciative or even believe that there could be a God of love, Lincoln declared, this is the day we put aside all our divisions and remember the gifts of God. How it is that the sun still shines, how it is that the crops still produce their harvest, how we see signs of God's beauty all around us. Perhaps more than ever today, we need to celebrate the unity that God brings in such a divided country, divided over different perspectives on how the country is doing. We need to celebrate God's good and wonderful gifts that make us joyful and full of hope that the God who is our King will be the God who we can praise and give thanks to. May it be so. Amen.